That was a rough passage, even for me to read it. I want to tell you, chapter 7 has been an interesting chapter. If you have never studied it in detail, I hope that you have learned a little bit. Maybe you can go on and study it a little more. But it is, again, talking about singleness. And I don't believe I preached that chapter like that ever in my whole life, in 39 years of ministry. But praise God, you know, when we go through the scriptures, we want to read every bit of it, because every bit of it is the word of God. And I think it is actually quite apropos at this moment. Did you know that more than 50% of the population, adult population in America, that's not even counting teenagers now, 18 and above actually, are single? Did you know that? 50.4% to be precise, are single. So when we talk about singleness, we're not talking about a little section maybe 50 years ago, oh, we just don't know what we're talking about there. No. We are talking about a big population in our society. And after, or at the end of this message, if I can get two thoughts through to you and from the Word of God, first of all, that if you're single, it is a great and awesome thing. Okay? You're not lacking anything. Don't think that because you're single, you're missing something in life. I want you to understand. Second of all, that if you have a daughter or a son who is single, or you're related to somebody that is not married right now, or a friend, that you not think badly about that. That, oh, poor such and such, only if he can find a wife. No. I want you to understand that. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about singleness, and we discovered from the Word of God that singleness is a good thing. Also, that singleness can be a gift from God. In other words, the gift of celibacy is something that God gives as a spiritual gift. So there are people that are gifted in singleness. So if you're single, you might be gifted in it. And if you're gifted in by God, there's some awesome things that God has mind for you, right? So if these things you can remember at the end of this, and if you are single or you know someone who is single, and you leave here understanding what Scripture says, that is my hope, that you would do that today in chapter 7. Now, let me just give you a little background as well. You need to understand this, because there's a passage of Scripture there that sound really weird, right? The part about a man giving his virgin daughter, right? Okay, that sounds really weird for our society. We can't imagine that. What's Paul talking about? This is so, like, you know, prehistoric almost, right? No. You need to understand. Until 200 years ago, this is how marriages went. Everywhere, including America. If you go to every single culture, people don't just say, oh, I fell in love with this boy in school. Or I met somebody, you know, at this party. Oh, no, that doesn't happen. If you are a father and you have daughters, you're planning to marry your daughters away. And you know the idea of this, an old maid, you're talking about, if I don't get that daughter married by the age of 21 or 25, she's going to be an old maid. I'm in trouble. So what happens is, depending on the culture, there is something called a dowry, right? You actually either pay someone to marry your daughter, or someone pays you to let them marry your daughter. That's how it works. And it's not like it's forgotten. I know in our old church, we had a couple, they were Indians, great people, greatly in love with each other. They had a great family. And then when we got to know them a little bit more, we discover that they were arranged. Their parents got them together. The first time they met each other was on a wedding day. And it worked out great. And in fact, some of your parents, your grandparents, you think about it, it's like that. My grandmother was, well, it wasn't a great thing, but she was married when she was 13 years old to my grandfather, who I've never met, and was actually his third or fourth wife. Those things are not what we want necessarily, but I want to tell you that for the last thousands of years, this is what happened. So when Paul was speaking to the people there and talking about, you know, celibacy, talking about singleness, talking about marriage, it's not only just about the individuals. He was actually talking to the families too, the parents, the fathers particularly, because this is something, it's almost a choice of the father. But today we want to talk about a few things about singleness. First of all, Paul says, you know what? I understand singleness. He does. He was single. But he wanted them to know, remember, that singleness is good. It's not a bad thing to be married because God designed marriage. Marriage is good too, but singleness is good. And not only that, singleness is a gift. And because of that, some of you may be single because of those things. And Paul wanted them to understand the advantages that they had in being single. Now, we have to get into a kind of a paradigm of understanding what we're talking about here. Because there's a lot of people today that are single who say, well, I'd like to live my own life. I don't want anybody bothering me. I don't want to care for anybody at all. I just want to live my own life. You know, I want a vacation. I want this and that. No, no, no. This is not what Paul's talking about. Paul's not talking about being single because you're selfish. That's not what he's talking about. Because I don't want to care for a wife or a husband or children or anything. I don't want a dog and a cat that's good enough for me, you know, that kind of thing. No, no, he's not talking about that. He's not talking about being single because I want to be selfish. He's talking about wanting to be single because God has given you that gift, because singleness is good, and because you can do better ministry with singleness. That's what he's talking about. So if you're thinking about singleness, I am single, I'm just a man of my own life, nobody controls me, nobody tells me what to do, well, you got it all wrong. That's not what it's talking about at all. He's talking about singleness in terms of ministry. So the first thing he talks about when he talks about singleness and the advantage of it is that when you are single, you don't have to deal with the struggles in life like if you're married. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? Verse 20 says, yet such will have trouble in this life, and I'm trying to spare you. We are living in a society and in a country that has escaped a little bit. We have escaped a little bit of the persecution of the world. But during the days of Paul, he recognized that if you're a Christian, you are going to suffer. At the moment he wrote this letter in Corinth to Corinthians, they have not suffered yet. They did suffer immediately right after in Jerusalem when the people were scattered. You know, there were all kinds of persecution from the Jews upon the Christians. But they have not really suffered greatly yet. But Paul knew they would. And in fact, when we look back in history, we find that they have. Did you know that during the days of Nero, Emperor Nero, he was a wicked, wicked emperor. Horrible, horrible emperor. In fact, he burned his own city, the burning of Rome, and blamed it on the Christians. He's the one that designed all these ways to hurt Christians. It's not enough to kill the Christians. He had to find ways to kill them in an entertaining way in his evil mind. And so that's why the Colosseum, you got animals there, you got lions and tigers or whatever else they have. They would throw the Christians with their little children in there to fight the lions. You're not going to beat the lions. He would find other ways in which he would just hurt them. He would do all kinds of things so that not only would they die, they would die brutal deaths. And this hasn't stopped in the last 2,000 years. Every once in a while, if you follow any communist persecution of Christians, you will find that Mao Zedong did all kinds of stuff. You know, Stalin did all kinds of stuff. I think I shared with you before when I heard a missionary talk about this family where the Christian family was taken by the communists in Cambodia, Khmer Rouge. And then literally in front of the children, they disemboweled the father, took his intestines while he was still alive and stuffed it in his mouth and said, you want to be like your father? We're going to do right that. And there are days in which they will quarter people. They literally tied the Christians, you know, to four horses and they will be quartered. Can you imagine the massive pain that was? And how about the burning of them? They were tying them up and burning up and letting them suffer through flames. Any which way they can to make the Christians suffer. And so Paul was speaking to them like this. You understand that being a single person, you will struggle in life, but not as much as if you had a family. And that we can say and agree to, can we not? I remember when we were in New York and ministering there, I don't know how many pastors, different ones, would say, you know, we just can't go to New York City. It's too hard. If I was a single person, I would. And sure enough, they would not come in. I remember when I did a little survey in the south side of Chicago, And I was there, and I was talking to a bunch of pastors, you know, and people that were doing ministry in this really rough area of Chicago. There was a church called Circle Church. It was a really, really good church. And the people that were ministering there in this ghetto environment, they had to make all kinds of sacrifices. And the ones that did the best there were single people. I know the single gal that was there. And in fact, it was horrible for her. One particular instant, she was taking the whatever subway or whatever system it is, and she was attacked. And she recovered, and because she was single, she was able to handle it, and she continued to minister. You know, if you have a family, and that happened to your wife, and that happened to your daughter, I'm not sure if you can. A friend of mine was in Thailand, and it happened to her. She was a single gal. And she had a baby boy from it. But she recovered. It was horrible, but it's recovery. I'm not going to say it's easy because you're single, but in many, many ways, the struggles of life, the Apostle Paul is saying, you need to handle that. And so he talks about that. He says, you know what? If you're single, you can minister in ways that families cannot. You can go places that they cannot. You can handle things that they may not. And so Paul said that. Second thing he said is about handling priorities. He says, you know what? This is just an obvious thing. When you are married, you have divided priorities. You just do. Now remember, now he's speaking to single people now. He's not saying that if you're married, that's a bad thing. He's not saying if you have children, it's a bad thing. He's not saying that. He's saying that's good too. But he's speaking to those who are single, saying it is good. And those who have gifted a gift of singleness to say, guys, you don't need to think about that you're missing out something. God has a plan for you. Because if you are not single, okay, the priorities in your life, they are conflicting sometimes. Not that they're bad, that they're just conflicting. You have to care about your children, you know. When you are going to sign up to go somewhere, you have to think about how you're going to transport your family there. Let me tell you. I think the average cost for a missionary family to be sent overseas, I think the cheapest one is OMF. But the average cost of a typical family of, say, for instance, husband and wife and two children is $80,000 a year. That's how much it costs to send a missionary to China, send a missionary to France, send a missionary to Africa. That's how much it costs. Now, there's a reason for that, because you got to take care of the children. In fact, our former denomination, the children will be taken away, actually, at the age of six. Once they start school, they put them in boarding school. For instance, if you're in Africa, all the African missionary family will be brought to, in the old days, in a place in Mali, and now I'm not sure exactly where the school is. In South America, they will bring them to Quito, Ecuador, and there will be a boarding school for all the children. They have to care for them. The parents have to literally give up caring and raising the children, and it's brutal. I want to tell you, it's brutal for families. But they have to do that. And so when you have a married couple, you have priorities that are conflicting sometimes with what you can do in ministry. A single person can do all kinds of stuff. I know single missionaries, particularly in Thailand. I know one. She's an awesome missionary. I mean, a great missionary. She's a single gal. She has the gift of celibacy. She has been single. She's been there for 30 years. And she's doing great work in Thailand. I mean, you just read about her stuff, you know? And there's a lot of them like that. So handling the priorities in life. I remember when we were young, Pastor Barbara and I, we went to New York City, started a church. And I want to tell you, we only had about 30 people in the church. But I only had two evenings free every month. All the other evenings were filled with visitations, with meetings, with evangelism, on and on and on and on. It takes a lot of time. And my children were young. I had two little boys at the time. And the time that I spent with them, I would take time out in the afternoon to spend some time with them, take them to McDonald's, take them to a little park somewhere, and that's what I would do. But you see, the priorities of life, you know, it's very conflicting. And as they got older and older, you know, I can't be giving up all my evenings. I have to care for my children. This is what you have to do. So Paul is talking about that. He says, and his interests are divided. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's not wrong. It's just that if you are single and God has given you this gift of singleness, you know what? Look forward to being a great and awesome minister because of it. That doesn't mean that you who are single right now, you have to be a missionary or a pastor, all these things. No, no, no. It is where you are that God has placed you. You can do so much ministry. You can do so many things because you do not have conflicting priorities that will take a lot of your time and your resources. And I think it's interesting that going back to when Paul talks about how the father will decide for the daughters. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that just freaks me out. I can't even imagine that, right? But it's like, you make a choice for your daughter. There's a lot of onus on families here. And remember, this is not a society that, oh, you say, whoa, what kind of archaic society is it? No, this is the Greek society. This is the Roman society. This is a society that can fit in right now in New Orleans, in New York City, in San Francisco. This is a society that's so promiscuous, a society that anything goes, all right? It will fit in right well. It is not that. It's just that when they become Christians, suddenly the whole mores from the biblical standard comes upon those family and those people. They say, okay, this is what I need to do now. I need to follow after God. The last thing here you want to see here, I think it's interesting that the Apostle Paul talks about it, and he talks about singleness, and he says it is better. And he said that's because he's single. Now remember, singleness is not just necessarily that you have never been married. A lot of his singleness here is he talks about virgins. Yes, they are. They have never been married. But they also include divorcees. They also include widows and widowers. They include all those. And he's basically saying, you know what? If you are in those situations, pray about it, think about it. You might be in a great situation. He says, when you focus on ministry alone, again, not being single so that I can just run around carousing all day and night, being selfish with my time and my energy and my resource. No, he's saying being single so that you can focus on ministry. And when you look at the Apostle Paul's life, you realize that his ministry life could never have happened without that. You say, well, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to eventually have my head chopped off, you know. That's what happened to Paul, right? You say, do I want that? But you see, Paul was in a different sphere when he thinks about life. He thought about life like this. Going back a little bit in the verse, he says, you know, basically, this world is fading away. When he says, you know, this world, don't do this, don't do that. This world is fading away. He had a mindset that was so different. And if we as God's people have those kind of mindsets, that you know what? Life is not just life here. Life is not just the 70, 80, 90 years of life here. Life is not just, you know, what we do here, what we produce here, what we gather here, the things that we do here at all. It is not just that. It is eternal. The Apostle Paul thought about that. And I think when we think about those things, then what we do as families are different. And certainly what we do as single people will be very different. I began by saying, if I can end this message encouraging those who are single here in this room to know that it's a good thing. That's not to say you cannot get married. Paul said that. If you don't have the gift of celibacy, you really want to get married, you know, do so if you can. But do so in the Lord, I always say. You know what marriage is? Biblical marriage. A man and a woman. Not a man and three women. Not a man and a man. Not a woman and a woman. No, not at all. This is what marriage is. In the Lord, do so. The Lord brings you that person into your life. Nothing wrong with that at all. And serve the Lord in that way. But if you're single and you're not burning with it, okay, as he said, you have that gift. He said, you know, I can live single. Look forward to the possibility that God has a great plan for you. You might have something in front of you, before you, that God is planning and preparing that you can't even imagine. It could be maybe going overseas. Maybe as a missionary. Maybe as a minister in different ways. Maybe as a person that impacts people so much right here in Houston. You have no idea what God can do if you're not in it. but believe that God can, because he wants to do something awesome in your life. So focus on ministry as the Apostle Paul did. He did, and he says, I wish you were all like me. And I know he meant it, because it is the most amazing thing in his mind to serve God and minister in his name. Would you pray with me? Gracious Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. Father, in this room are some amazing people. Each and every one, oh Lord God, you have called for something special. God, I pray especially for those who are single in this room. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would open up a whole world of opportunities and possibilities. Would you minister in their hearts and their minds that they know for sure that you have a great life for them? And if that is what you want them to be, a single person, that you have a great and awesome ministry life for them. Father, I want to pray as well for the rest of us who are married, Lord God, that we will be able to see this in you. That when we look at our single friends and our relatives and so forth, that we would know that the most important thing is that they love you, they want to serve you, and they want to minister in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you so much. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.